This is Grace Cavalieri with Conversations About Writing. And today, I'd like to talk about intuition. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. The intuitive part of the poem is my favorite place. So I have to be careful, very, very careful, not to stay there to the exclusion of the thinking or the feeling or the sensual parts of my writing. It's also the part that if standing alone, well, it would baffle the reader. Intuition means that you trust the reader to know as much as you do, that you don't have to spell everything out directly and exactly, that you can leave things out and know you have still delivered meaning. It is to be in touch with the invisible world. It is to know to leave some words unsaid, and your exquisite judgment through constant writing will be the way you'll develop this skill. This comes after practicing poetry, I think, for a while. Today we sense more than our ancestors did. Ancient man only knew what he saw directly in front of him. Whatever was out of sight was thought to be gone forever. Today we know more. We trust more. This is partly because human beings are part of a spiritual evolution where we are moving toward highly developed, invisible understandings and perceptions. These are beyond the physical world. This is reflected in our writing. I know my reader is as smart as I am. I am dealing with intelligence. This frees me up. I know the reader is capable of feeling anything I have experienced. This lets me into his or her consciousness as an equal. What a good place to write from. If I intuit a presence in the room, it is probably not a ghost, but a half-light of my vision. Writing from the half-light creates mystery and intrigue, a sense of urgency, of meaning and equilibrium. Alluding to the subject is the slant light Emily Dickinson refers to. Full frontal force is the opposite of using our intuitive selves. The subtle, the inferred, the light touch is a beautiful notion in poetry. It takes courage to say just enough and no more, to point to things and not have to do all the work for the reader. Have you ever been with someone who does not believe you understand? And so he or she must underline the message again and again. First, it's insulting. Next, it's like trying to love someone who's standing on your feet while talking to you. We do not ever doubt the intelligence of our reader while we write. So we say something, not everything. If a poem has a body, a shape that we craft, it also has a spirit. Since poetry by nature is fragmentary, there are bridges to be crossed that are not spoken outright, passages not seen but understood. These are spiritual connections within the poem where we leap from the facts of the poem to that which is said, unsaid. The reader will have faith in the poem if the writer has faith in the poem. This is to say, when the poet does sloppy work and leaves out material from careless, hasty writing, confusion reigns. When we as writers trim down our thinking and our lines so there's enough there to satisfy, but not too much, the poem will be received in the way it was intended. Poetry is a kind of behavior, A.R. Ammons liked to say. The poet who enters a room with a loud presence, disrupting everything and demanding attention, is like an entry to the poem that is abrupt and sudden. Intuition lets us writers know how to ease our way into the text. A poem that shouts diatribe at us is like a person screaming at us. Our sixth sense guides us as writers to weigh what we do and to use judgment in tempering the work upon the page to make it agreeable and maybe even memorable. I guess I'm saying there are two intuitions at play in writing poetry. That of the writer who weighs every choice carefully, and that of the intuition inside the poem, which provides light and space so that we can see more than is said. These are difficult concepts, but no more than we face every day of our lives when we decide how much or how little to say to our partner, student, or child so that we help understanding rather than impede it. Animals live intuitively. Human beings have all the same gifts of nature, but the most magnificent one of all. They can speak and tell stories. We are the only creatures on earth who can. And just to say thank you for listening to this, I'm going to read two poems. One beautiful thing by Derek Walcott called Love After Love. The time will come when with elation you will greet yourself arriving at your own door in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine,